Glory to you, Lord. You may be seated. Now it's good that we sang these songs. Lord, you're good. We sang, God, you are the way maker. We sang, you're the God of miracles. It's good that we have a full comprehensive of who God is. We talked about his goodness. How many of you guys can attest to the fact that God has been good? Amen. How many of you guys can attest to the fact that he is a miracle working God? Has he healed your body before? I mean, he has healed mine. Has he worked through you to heal someone else? He is a miracle-working God. And as we go through this sermon today, I want you to keep the goodness of God in your mind, because we're going to talk about something that doesn't seem to be good, but he is good, amen? And so the title that we want to talk about today is God's wrath. God's wrath. And then, so that's why we want to have in mind that God, you are good. God, you are a way maker. God, you are a God of miracles. And so with that thought, I'd like to kick it off in the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 10. And the title of this one's Eyes Wide Open to God's Wrath. And last week we talked about having our eyes wide open to the end times, and we believe that we are approaching the end times. And we're just going to keep believing and keep trusting in God, and we're going to have our eyes wide open to those things which God has warned us to be wide open towards. So our eyes need to be open. How many of you guys have kids in this place? Right, a few of us, right? How many of you guys have ever lost it on your kids before? All of us. All right? And so we know what it is whenever a child disobeys or breaks the law. And sometimes you will see the wrath of dad, or you will see the wrath of mom, right? And so it is. With our relationship with God. And God is a holy and God is a just God. And sin cannot stand in his presence. Amen. And so if you're looking at God's wrath, if you're looking at this subject, I want to just kind of point out just quite a few instances where God's people messed up and messed up big. And because of their sin, because of their rebellion, God acted in wrath. All right, and so we're going to look at this. This is not a fun subject. Nobody likes to talk about God's wrath, right? But I couldn't get away from it this week. As I tried to push towards other things, like surely God, we can talk about your goodness and your love and your mercy. God, you are a miracle working God, and yes, he's all of those things. But we cannot talk about those things without talking about also the fact that he is a God of wrath. He is love. He is love. Yes, absolutely. But he is a God of wrath. And we're going to look at this, and we're going to have a biblical understanding of God's wrath this morning. So in the Old Testament, you know, the children of Israel had a tendency to rebel against God. Even though God had delivered them with a mighty hand from the Egyptian slavery and just rescued them, still and all, the Israelites tended to go towards idols, worship other idols, and really even talk about the man of God. And God had a serious problem with this. In fact, the instance that I'm talking about is in Numbers 21, verse 5. It says, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." What food is he talking about? He's talking about the food that God provided. In other words, God had made... Oh, we got an alarm going off. So that's the weather alert, I'm sure, on your phones. We got some bad weather coming, all right? So we're moving on. So this food that was mentioned right here was actually some fresh baked bread that God would make himself and that he would just pour out for the children of Israel. And they begin to loathe this bread, what God had provided. They begin to loathe his provision and begin to think back on how good it was whenever they were in Egypt, how they would have fish and they would have meat and all these different things. And so they begin to think about this. And so they start talking against God. They start talking against the man Moses. Then in verse 6, it says, "Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died." Now, that's pretty straightforward right there. that God does not play whenever you start talking about the man of God, you start talking about brothers or sisters in Christ, that he considers them to be children of God. And so whenever you start messing with them, you're messing with God. And so the warning is that you would find yourself not talking or not engaging in conversation that is tearing down another brother or sister in Christ, because God takes it very seriously. I'm not sure if he's going to send down a fiery serpent to bite you, but certainly something bad is going to happen to you if you start talking and tearing down other people, especially God's people, with your mouth. God does not take that lightly. He takes it very seriously. Another example is found in the book of Sodom and Gomorrah. Perhaps you heard the story in Genesis 19:24. It says, "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground." So not only did he wipe out the people with fire and sulfur, but every crop was destroyed. Everything. He destroyed everything in Sodom and Gomorrah. This was the wrath of God being demonstrated on a people who were sinful and rebellious towards him. Now you might ask, what in the world did they do that was so deserving of this kind of destruction? Thankfully, the Bible tells us this. I'm glad you asked. In Genesis 18:20 says, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave." And then Ezekiel 16:49-50 says, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride." I mean, you guys know that God cannot stand pride. Whenever you start exalting yourself, whenever you start saying, "I am somebody because of my own efforts, because of what I did, it's because of my accomplishments," that God has a serious issue with pride. And besides that, they had excess of food and they were prosperous at ease, but did not aid the poor and the needy. So they had the world's possessions and they withheld it. They seen their fellow brothers and sisters struggling and just looked the other way. They said, "I'm not going to help you. I'm going to keep this stuff to myself." They were haughty and did an abomination before me. "So I removed them." This is God. "So I removed them when I saw it." Whenever we look back at Genesis 19, we also find that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they had lost their natural affection for a woman, and they began to burn with lust for other men. And so God says, because they committed this abomination, I wiped them out. I wiped them out. I took them out, and he burned them with fire and sulfur. All right, so we see several examples in the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? Well, in the New Testament as well, let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. It says, "But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part for yourself of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God.' And Ananias heard these words. He fell down and breathed his last breath. And great fear came upon all who heard it." Don't mess with God. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit is what the message was. And you see this is a pretty striking warning for the early church. He was adamant about his early church getting it right. And whenever someone came and lied to the Holy Spirit, he's like, "No, I'm going to strike you dead because I'm not going to tolerate that." So God does not tolerate lying. He does not tolerate pride. He does not tolerate people talking about his leaders. He takes it all very, very seriously. We see it in scriptures like Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this should, if it has not thus far, it should bring about a healthy fear of the Lord, like we talked about in Proverbs. I mean, guys know it's good to have a healthy fear of the Lord, that we understand that God, yes, is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. In fact, We have not only seen historical examples of God's wrath. In the book of Revelation, it foretells of God's coming wrath against all unbelievers and against Satan. We're going to look at just a few scriptures in the book of Revelations. Revelations, being that last time we kind of talked about the end times, we're going to kind of jump on that with Revelations, the sixth seal. Revelation 6:15 through 17, it says, "Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" John foresees, John is writing this letter, this book of Revelations, and he foresees a time when God, who is on the throne, will come back and will judge and will make war, and Jesus is accompanied with him, and he says it is a terrible sight. In fact, in other passages in the book of Revelations 19:11, it goes into further detail. It says, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True." How many of you guys know that's Jesus? Amen. "And in righteousness, he judges and makes war." He doesn't come with a bunch of teddy bears and gives out teddy bears. He's coming to judge, and he's coming to make war. Amen. "His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems," which are many crowns. "And he has a name written that no one knows but himself." Get this, "He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood." Does this sound like some weak individual? It sounds like Jesus is coming back as a warrior with his sword dipped in blood. He's coming back to fight. He's coming back to judge. He's coming to make war. This is a terrible sight. If you are an unbeliever, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should be fearful of this sight. John foretells of this. He goes on. He says, "He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called, the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen." You guys know who that is? That's the church. Arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. We're going to be white and pure because of what Jesus did for us, because all of our sins are washed away, and we're going to be with Christ in that great army. It's going to be a great sight. "And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses." We're going to have a white horse as well. "From his mouth comes a sharp sword, with which to strike down nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God of the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, if you ain't scared by now, it means either one or two things: that you are saved, because you have no reason to be fearful if you are saved. But if you're not scared right now, you should be. If you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus, this is a terrible sight to face, to come across. And you must be ready for this. And if we are to endure the tribulation, if we are to be raptured up, you know, we will be raptured up. But if we're going to see it, then we must be ready for this, all right? So Jesus is coming back. He's coming back with wrath. He's coming to execute judgment. He's coming to make war. He's coming to strike down the nations. He's coming to execute wrath against Satan. This should make you excited. I should get an amen or a shout or something right now, because the enemy who has been terrorizing you, who has been messing with you, who has been trying to destroy your life ever since you came to Christ, has been trying to mess with your family. It says in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10, that God's wrath is going to be executed on Satan, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and there they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Come on, we won't have to mess with temptation anymore. We won't have to face this, you know, every attempt that he's tried to destroy your life. We won't have to deal with that anymore. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's good news, church. That's good news. But then he also says that God is coming back to execute wrath against the unbelievers. Let's look at the next chapter in verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 15, it says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he or she was thrown into the lake of fire. Same lake of fire that was created for the devil and his angels. Same lake of fire that was determined for the false prophets. It says that those who are not found in Christ, those who are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, will be thrown and cast into the lake of fire, where they will burn forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the penalty for our sin. That's the penalty for dying without Christ. God's wrath is hot against sin. He is a holy, perfect, and righteous God. And sin is way over here. Sin cannot even be in the same room as God, because God is that holy. And so whenever we sin, when we mess up, whenever we fall short, we need something that bridges the gap between a holy and perfect and righteous God and our sinful flesh, which condemns us to hell. Thankfully, we have Jesus. Thankfully, we have Jesus. Thankfully, we have the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us, because we are saved. Whenever he said it is finished, he meant it is finished. I'm buying your salvation. I'm paying the price on my back. I'm taking on myself God's wrath for your sin. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus came to this earth. He walked as a man in flesh and blood, just as you and I did. He was crucified on the cross and beaten beyond recognition for us. In a sense, he took on our sin on the cross. And because he took on our sin, he took on the wrath of God that was intended for us, that was intended to destroy us and send us to the place of a fiery furnace. And Jesus took upon himself God's wrath. How many of you guys are grateful for that this morning? You know, we can't talk about the wrath of God without talking about the grace and the mercy of God. Because in every story that we mentioned so far, just to kind of recap, we talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. And in this moment, before God executed his wrath, he was looking for a way to demonstrate his mercy. Abraham asked God, if there are 50 people who are righteous, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And God said, yes, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 50 people. And whenever 50 people were not found, Abraham says, God, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there was 45 people? And God says, yes, I will spare them if there was 45 people. It goes all the way down to 10. And whenever 10 righteous people were not found in Sodom and Gomorrah, that's when God says, enough. The mercy, he extended mercy before he extended judgment. He was looking for a way to deliver Sodom and Gomorrah. He was looking for a way to demonstrate his grace and his mercy. We can't help, whenever we talk about his wrath, we must also talk about his grace and talk about his mercy. With the fiery serpents in Numbers, after the fiery serpents came, God says, tells Moses, make this bronze serpent and put it in the middle. And for all those who look at this serpent, they will live and they will be made whole. Again, this was God's mercy extended towards these rebellious people. Now, this also was a picture, a foretelling of Christ. Because as they would look on this bronze statue and they would be made whole, and they were once sinners, as we look on the Lamb of Jesus, as we look to the cross, and we you know, the Bible says in Romans that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whenever we look at Jesus, then, and we confess him as Lord of our life, then we too are saved from our sins. We are healed. We are made whole. And the effects of death have no effects on us, amen? Death has no effect on us, amen? And then we look at another extension of grace and mercy in Ananias and Sapphira. Because Peter asked them both, is this what went on? Before God's judgment was executed on them, Peter asked them, is this what really happened? In other words, here's your opportunity to come clean. Here's your opportunity to tell the truth and to be cleansed. And whenever that didn't happen, both Ananias and Sapphira lost their life. The idea is that mercy came before judgment. Mercy came before judgment. And so now we look to this future grace where in the book of Revelations, we learn that Jesus is coming back and it's going to be a terrible sight. What about the grace? Well, you have not died yet. Amen. You still have breath in your lungs. Amen. And so therefore, you have a chance to make it right with God. You have a chance. You are experiencing a season of mercy in your life. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed our next breath. But one thing for sure is that with everything that I have, I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to live my last breath unto the Lord. Amen. In book of Revelations 21:7 says, the one who conquers, how many guys plan to be the one who conquers? We conquer how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the heritage. This is the grace that is extended to us, that God says, look, I'm going to dwell with you. I am going to be your God, and you will be my people. Now, if you belong to God, everything is provided for. Your joy is provided for. Your happiness, your strength is provided for. And if you belong to God, you are a child of God. He is your Father. That is an awesome thing to behold. Amen. So this is what he says, you know, and we haven't done anything to deserve this. It is God's grace, it is God's mercy that is bestowed upon us. Amen. One other thing that we must mention as we talk about God's wrath, we talk about God's mercy, is the fact that Christ has taken on himself our sin and consequently God's wrath. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Come on, how many guys are thankful that all of your sins, all of your iniquity, all of your shame, all of your guilt, everything that makes you a filthy person and deserving of hell, it has been placed on the body of Jesus Christ. And Christ has taken upon himself the wrath of God so that we do not have to. Amen. That is the beauty about this story. We talk about God's wrath, but then we see his mercy and we see Jesus and how he took upon himself all for us. You know, while Jesus was on the earth, he says, are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? He tells his disciples this. Are you able to drink of the wrath of God that I am about to drink of for you? And in fact, many of his disciples, as we talked about last week, did, in fact, die a death of martyr. But none of his disciples took upon themselves the wrath of God. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. My question today is, the only way that you and I will have a heavenly inheritance that we talked about, and the only way that we will be spared from the wrath of God, is if we are covered in the blood of Jesus. Are you covered in the blood of Jesus? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed him as Lord and your Savior? Are you prepared to meet God? You might ask, man, we just did a salvation message. Well, I just want to make sure. I want to make sure that we're all believers. I want to make sure you're covered in the blood. I want to make sure that whenever you face Jesus, that you're not going to experience his wrath, but you're going to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into heaven. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And you will not hear the words, depart from me, you wicked and slothful servant. But you will hear, enter, well done, my good and faithful. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? God, we just want to say, Lord, you are a good, good God. Lord, you are merciful. Lord, you are compassionate. Lord, you suffer long with us, and we just want to thank you for that. We want to thank you that you did not consume us, but Lord, you have given us opportunity. And every time that you've executed your wrath, you've showed your mercy and you showed your judgment because you're such a good, good God. So Lord, for those who are not saved, for those who are not covered in the blood of Jesus, I pray for them right now. I pray that you will convict them, Lord, that you will draw them to repentance. I pray, God, that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, that they will surrender their life to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for Jesus, that he took upon himself the wrath of God so that we do not have to. We just give you praise and we give you all the glory and adoration in this place of God, because we will not experience the wrath of God because we are redeemed. We have been bought back. We are renewed in Christ Jesus. And we thank you and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in this place, oh God. Come and have your way. Lord, let us have a healthy fear of God. But as believers, let us not be so fearful that we don't come to you. Because after we are made new, after our sins are forgiven, the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Lord, you are God who wants to hear the prayers of your children. You are God who is deeply concerned about your sons and your daughters. We thank you for the provision that you have made through Jesus so that we can be reconciled back to you. We love you and we give you all the praise in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Today, if you've never trusted your life over to Christ, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and to take the place for the wrath of God, isn't that good news this morning that Jesus took your place? That's what it means. And so today, if you've never done that, right after service, just come right up here or talk to Pastor Ted or a leader in the church and say, I just want to hand my life over to Christ. I want him to cover me. That's what it is. The blood of Jesus covers you. And so today that you can go out of these doors boldly because of who Christ is, and that you don't have to fear or be scared. I know a lot of times there's a lot of unhealthy fear too that comes, like he said, like just trust that Christ has paid the price for your sin and for the penalty of your sin. And so today that you can walk out encouraged and be encouraged because God is good. Would you just say that God is good? And so we love you guys. If you want to talk to us, please do that. If you're a visitor, grab that visitor card and bring it to the front desk. We have a gift for you, and we'll see you back here at 5 o'clock as we share the good news. Hey, the good news is Jesus took the place for your sin, and so we're going to share that today at 5 o'clock. We love you guys, and have a wonderful day. Go Saints.